Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Chase Young signed a one-year deal with the Saints for a guaranteed $13 million. He had 2.5 sacks and 10 tackles with 18 pressures in his 9 regular season games with the 49ers this last season. He also had a sack in the Super Bowl. So, Keyshawn, will Chase Young be worth $13 million to the Saints?
I think he's worth every penny to the Saints. Saints are 9-8. You just got Kirk Cousins in the division. Baker Mayfield re-signs with Tampa Bay Bucks. So you got two quarterbacks that you got to go get on the ground. You got two guys, and this guy certainly can do that. His injury history in Washington pushed him out of Washington. It helped have a lack of production. When you're injured and you're coming off injuries and you're not fully healed, but you're trying to play and you don't get the most out of a player, it's time to move on from him. Washington felt, okay, we're going to deal him. Doesn't work for us. Moved him to San Francisco. Did he make a huge Bruce Smith-type impact? No, he didn't. But he had some impact. He created some pressures along with Bosa and Armstead up front. They created some pressure, okay? He finished the year with 7.5 sacks, 16 games. Obviously, some of that came in Washington. The other half came in San Francisco. Got a sack in the Super Bowl.
He did.
So I think, though, if he's 100% healthy, he can eventually be the pass rusher that everybody would hope that he would be when he got drafted out of Ohio State. I mean, I think so. I think that's what it is.
People have been saying that since the moment he got drafted.
He was rookie of the year, Skip.
Yeah. Defensive.
Defensive rookie of the year.
Yeah.
He got hurt. ACL, man. For that type of skill to come off the edge and do all of these sort of things, when you're ripping up your knee, it takes time to come back. I understand it's not the same as it was 20 years ago, the surgeries.
No.
Medicine is different, but it takes a minute.
I understand. I dug in on this before he was drafted because I watched him a lot at Ohio State. He is supremely gifted with a low motor, and he will perpetually leave you wanting a little more, just a little more, because you see it in practice. I'm sure if you were at practice with the Saints, you'd be saying, my God, you know. He's got the whole package, which is why he was, what, the second overall pick?
Yeah. I don't know who came out that year. Who was one?
I forget.
I don't remember either.
It blurs. But the point is, he's the second overall pick. And now we've watched Washington just cut bait. They said, no, not for us. Well, they did. They just gave up. They just said, no, that's enough.
They've been hurt.
Okay, but if he was that dude, I mean, did...
They gave up on Sweat, too, then. Sweat's in Chicago and got big money from the Bears.
They did. Okay.
And the coach is fired, and the defensive coordinator got fired.
Okay, but this guy didn't get big money to go to San Francisco, and he didn't get big money to go to New Orleans, and I don't think he'll ever live up to $13 million guaranteed. That's just me. Because
he's already living up to it.
He is a
7.5 sacks, and if you can get 8 sacks a season, that's good, man.
To me, he's a situational pass rusher, and if you put him on a line in a rotation with the stalwarts, with Nick Bosa and Eric Armstead, and you mix in Randy Gregory and him, they're going to get loose because they're going to get single coverage every single snap.
And that's part of the game.
Yeah. Now he won't get single coverage if he's going to play every down for the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, right? He'll, because you got the other, oh, God, I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah.
you still can create your own disruption without being singled up. Cam Jordan is who they have. So you got Cam. I was almost calling him Michael Jordan, but I moved on. Cam Jordan on the other side.
Yeah.
This is why they sign him. They don't sign him to just be a Lone Ranger. They sign him. So now you as an offensive line and an offensive coordinator, offensive line coach, you got to pick your poison. Who you going to double? Who you going to slide to?
Yep.
Okay, so if I'm sliding to Cam Jordan, you leaving Chase Young scot-free. And if that is what you want to do.
Scot-free. Somebody will block him, but it'll just be one man.
Yeah, that's scot-free.
Yep.
He should be able to beat guy with no problem at all.
Yeah.
Something that the Cowboys, you know, y'all have a problem doing.
How many second picks in the draft wind up on a third team in a short time?
Yeah, but he's not winding up on a third team, Skip, because of lack of production. The man was injured.
What was he in San Francisco? Why didn't they work to keep him?
It's $13 million.
Okay.
It's $13 million, and you got other players
that they lost, Eric Armstead.
But there's a lot, they cut bait. It's a lot of players that they got to sign. They got salary cap issues that they're trying to figure out. You got to address IU. You're going to eventually have to address this quarterback. You're going to have to eventually address D'Amador Lenore. By the way, Denzel Ward, he wants to be compensated at two. I mean, that's just...
Got to have pass rushers.
Yeah, but you got to be able to pay certain guys on your team. They're going to have to redo Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey, we're going to not pay him.
Yeah.
So you got to pick who you need to pay and who's most important to you.
Yeah.
I can say the same thing about Devin White. Why did the Tampa Bay Buccaneers let Devin White go?
I still don't get it. He had a bad year last year.
It happens. Yeah. But the Philadelphia Eagles said thank you.
They did.
While the Dallas Cowboys went and signed Hendricks.
They did. And I told you whatever it was yesterday, I give you that one. That's advantage Philadelphia on that one.
I didn't say you didn't give it to me. I'm just you question why teams give up on players, and I'm trying to answer that for you as much as I can.
Did Aaron Donald bounce around at the end of his career? Did he change teams? No.
Nobody said he's Aaron Donald. Right? Aaron Donald's a three-time defensive player of the year, I think 10-time All-Pro, okay, or something crazy like that. And he'll be in the Hall of Fame next week. So, no one's saying he's Chase Young.
Aaron Donald, I'm off the top of my head here. He's like the 10th pick in the draft, or he was down the line
a little bit. But he's size, though.
Yeah,
I mean, shorter defensive tackle.
Okay. There aren't many second picks in the draft that just bounce around. Like, I don't think Micah Parsons is going to bounce around in his career.
If Micah Parsons, knock on wood, had ACL issues that eventually made his play look different.
Yeah.
Micah Parsons will be bouncing around too. That's just the reality of it.
Yep.
I mean, that's just it. Von Miller eventually got hurt.
He did.
Eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
And it started to tail off, and then he got healthy again, and then it popped. And then all of a sudden he had value. He goes to the Rams. He's healthy. Boom. Von Miller again. We saw him dominate with the Rams, and Buffalo said, we'll give you whatever you want.
But Von Miller was playing the Kirk Cousins game where he was playing the market correctly, right place, right time. He got his money.
But he would have stayed in Denver.
Yeah.
Denver, he would have been a lifer in Denver if he didn't get hurt.
Okay.
Because once he got hurt, things started to not look like Von Miller. And then he became Von Miller again, and he got that value, and the Rams said, we need that, so we're willing to give you a second-round pick for a guy for a year or two.
And Buffalo said, we'll pay for that.
Yes, because he was healthy again. That's all I'm saying to you, Skip. This move for this kid at $13 million fully guaranteed gives it a chance to hit a reset button.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you talk about bouncing around. Baker Mayfield bounced around, and he was the number one pick in the draft. What is this for him? At 14?
Yeah.
What is he? Cleveland, Carolina, the Rams, and Tampa Bay.
Okay. Circumstances. Bad circumstances.
That's what I'm trying to tell you about this.
Mm-hmm.
Bad circumstances.
Yeah. Okay. All right. But I'll give you this. On this market, even though it took a week for him to get his money, he wasn't a first day signing, right?
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything. Neither was Calvin Ridley to Tennessee, and Tennessee gave him a boatload.
He was a third day, right?
It happens. Yeah. There's still guys on the board.
And
Artur and Smith. It took him several days.
Yeah.
Everybody's not gonna sign or agree during a tampering period, Skip.
So Christian Wilkins went to the Raiders, and I still can't even believe the numbers of this. And I think he'll be worth it because he is a flat-out stud. He doesn't get the attention he deserves because he gets lost in the middle because he's a defensive tackle. But I look at these numbers. He's 4 for $110 million. It's 27.5 a year. It's $84 million guaranteed. Mm-hmm. That is a commitment.
Right place, right time.
You are betting on the long haul, man.
Right place, right time.
You're basically saying that for 4 years, he is going to be the anchor of a line that we believe.
Well, Max Crosby will be the anchor.
I mean the anchor, as far as the guts of it. You know, like the He's the one who's going to run stuff, and he can rush the passer from the middle also. He's got some. I'm not saying he's Aaron Donald, but he's pretty good.
Yeah.
And I'm not questioning the move. It just the money is so huge there that it almost makes Chase Young look like, well, that's not too bad. You know,
well,
like
it's a different. First of all, it's a different position.
Yeah.
You have a team that had a need.
Yeah.
That wanted this particular player.
Yeah.
They said, we know you, we like you, we want you. And they showed, they put their money where their mouth is.
Yeah, Eric Armstead got a longer-term deal for $17 a year from Jacksonville. So he earned it because he's a starter and a stalwart for the 49ers.
If Chase Young goes to New Orleans, they increase their record and win total. They go to the playoffs, and he has a 12-sack year.
Yeah.
I guarantee.
Well, if he gets 12 sacks, he'll hit the market. And he'll
I guarantee
get some money.
When he hits the market again,
yep.
He'll be one of the hottest free agents available.
Okay.
They pay for people to protect the quarterback, to go get the quarterback, to catch the football, and stop the guy from catching it.
Those are the positions that get the money. I agree. By the way, Dorrance Armstrong left the Dallas Cowboys and went to Dan Quinn in Washington and got 22 guaranteed with 11 a year for 2 years. So he's.
And he was a rotational player for the Cowboys.
No more.
Yeah.
No more. Just situational pass rusher.
But Dan Quinn saw him enough to know if I put him in my defense, whether he's a rotating guy or a full-time starter, he's going to give me what I need, and we're willing to pay that.
Yeah.
I'm only as good as what you want to pay me.
I will bet you that Chase Young doesn't have 12 sacks next year.
I don't know that.
Yeah?
I don't know that he won't.
Okay. Would you like to bet?
I'm not
dessert on it. How about
I wouldn't
dessert?
Even remember between now and the end of next season.
Okay, just remember I said this. He won't get 12 sacks.
Okay, it's on record.
All right.
I think he will.
12 versus 12.
I think he's a 12 sack guy.
Okay, and the Saints that you picked to win it all last year.
Oh, that was because my nephew played. I don't care. For all I care, the stadium could be empty. I ain't got nothing for them.
I don't think stadium will be empty, but they're pretty empty. I think the cupboard is empty in New Orleans.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I'm not a New Orleans Saints fan at the moment. So
what's going to happen to your nephew? Do we know?
I don't know. Want to call him and ask him?
Yeah, we probably should.
Like trying to get something out of him is like squeezing juice out of a dry lemon.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, if anybody can get the juice out, you could. And if you can't, nobody can.
I don't even want to ask.
All right.
Don't even want to ask.
Okay. All right. Let's talk Lakers. Last night, the Lakers out here in L.A. actually look like a team that could make a run. Paul Pierce rejoins to argue that.
The hate on the Lakers?
Yeah.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this, crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right, Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me, that's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids. just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
The Lakers did impress me a little bit last night, albeit against the Hawks playing back-to-back out here in L.A., but the Hawks had just embarrassed the Clippers in the same building, 110-93, and they did jump ahead last night, 11-2. That's when LeBron and AD started playing bully ball. D'Angelo Russell started making threes. Lakers 136, Hawks 105. D'Lo's six threes tied Nick Van Exel's single-season Laker record for threes at 183. D'Lo has done it in 64 games, while it took Van Exel 80 games. Paul, did anything you saw last night change your mind about the Lakers not being able to get out of the play-in?
Skip, they're playing against the Atlanta Hawks.
I got it.
Who are also playing.
They're in the 10th spot.
No, yep. Trae Young.
No. Yep.
This is a game they're supposed to win. Now, the thing I looked at about the Lakers, though, is like this is the way they have to play. The ball distribution was there. You know, you didn't have LeBron taking 20 shots, AD taking 18 to 20 shots. When you actually give these other guys the ball, they actually can make shots. And you're gonna need these guys down the stretch like Russell, like Reeves, as we continue to see them thrive. And so it just showed me if they play this way,
yeah,
no matter if it's the Atlanta Hawks or Minnesota or Milwaukee, that they can win. But, I mean, this doesn't show me they can make a playoff run because they beat the lowly Atlanta Hawks. You know, they have to do this against better teams on a consistent basis. And until I see that, I just don't think they'll make the playoffs.
So your point is until you see it. So you're not saying that getting 16 assists between LeBron and AD, you're not saying that, hey, they can't do it. You just haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it against good teams on a consistent basis. You know, they have these games versus, I said, a Minnesota, Milwaukee a week ago, and then come back and you lose to the Golden State Warriors in Sacramento.
Okay.
You know, so it shows me it's just inconsistent on a night in and night out basis. Now, let's see how they finish out the season. Now, say they win like three or four or five games in a row coming down the stretch, I'll have more confidence in them winning the play-in and possibly making the playoffs.
So tell me this, because I didn't play in the NBA and I've never been in a seven-game series. You have. Mm-hmm. One-offs to me, as a person who just watches and analyzes basketball, one-offs to me is you can beat a dude. You know, I beat you in May and I beat you again in March and April.
Right.
But when I got a seven-game series over a week and a half time span, that's different.
That's way different.
So I think they can do that in that short period opposed to seeing a team in December, then seeing a team again late January.
I think it's the opposite, Key. I think it's the opposite. They can one off like they did in the in season tournament. Mm-hmm. You win one game against that team.
Yes.
But when the Lakers play against a team seven times and they have to match up and say the better team is always going to show in a seven game series.
Okay.
And the Lakers aren't consistent enough to win a seven game series yet.
But when I look at last year, and last year is really all I could go on in a seven game series, this is the same Laker team, Skip, that if you go back to last year, we were wondering what it was. It was like they lose to this type of team, they beat this team, they lose, they win a team that's not very good. But when they got in the playoffs and they played these seven games, when they went to Memphis, was it Memphis, Golden State, mm-hmm. they handled their business.
Mm-hmm. Pretty easily.
Pretty easily.
Very convincingly, yeah.
And that was a seven-game stretch.
Yep.
Right.
So I think they can do that again.
I'm looking at the teams that are at the top that they might have to match up against.
Okay, so they got to play the Thunder in Minnesota. I don't think they're scared of either one of them.
If you look at how they've lost this year, they've lost to these young teams who are fast and athletic. That's not a good matchup for them. You said Golden State Warriors. That's a great matchup for them.
Yeah,
older team.
I agree.
That doesn't run and get up and down the court.
Yeah,
but when you got to play these fast, young teams who are going to get up on you on defense, who are going to run the break, who going to move the ball, make the extra pass, that's tough on the Lakers.
But how, explain to me then, Skip, if that what Paul is saying, how come they essentially dominated OKC and Minnesota when they played them?
They have dominated
those are young
them.
Teams?
Yeah.
So they took care of business against them. Even the Clippers, when they played the Clippers,
I've seen those
they
teams took care of business as the year go on, though. Those teams, you got to understand, those young teams who are at the top right now, they're playing this season. They're figuring out who they are. 50 games, 60 games. They're like, all right, they're confident. We know who we are now. We know we can stand face-to-face with any team in the league at this stage in the season. So come playoff time, no matter what the Lakers did against them during the regular season, I've been on a young team to where come playoff time, we can look these teams in the face and say, all right, we can beat y'all. We're not afraid of y'all no more. Y'all an older team. Y'all time is up. Let's do it.
All right. The reason I was slightly impressed last night is my bar is set so low for this team, even at home. I have seen this team lose home games to teams worse than the Atlanta Hawks. I've seen it all year long. When you least expect it, they come out just deadheaded, lifeless, listless. Like, where are you and what are you doing?
Down by 20 at middle of the second quarter.
So you're confident in that?
No,
in a series.
I'm with Skip.
Atlanta said, okay, watch this. We're going to carry on our momentum. We ran the Clippers off this floor just 24 hours ago. Watch this. And it's 11-2. And to LeBron's credit, he said, not in my house, not tonight, because he played hard last night. Yeah. On both ends of the floor, he played hard. It's the freaking Hawks. I give it to you. But you got to start somewhere. And I told you yesterday, they now have Philadelphia at home and Indiana at home. Mm-hmm. They need to win these games and start to build up a little momentum.
That's what they have to do.
I'm not writing this team off because it can match up with the top team. It has beaten Minnesota and Oklahoma City convincingly. And I got it to Paul. When they play Denver, they play the hell out of Denver. They don't know how to close against Denver. Closes on them every time. But the six of the last seven games have gone to the wire against Denver. They're a team that plays slow, and the Lakers don't get run off the floor by them. Right?
Yeah, but are you confident in these series that D'Angelo Russell is going to play the way he's playing?
So check this out. This is what gets me about the Lakers. While your Celtics have shot the most threes in the league by far.
By far.
The Lakers have shot the least threes in the league by far. They don't shoot threes yet. I look at D'Lo. He's shooting 42% from three for the year. I'm looking at LeBron. He's having a career three-point shooting year at 40.6%. I'm looking at Rui at 41%. I'm looking at the Lakers as a team collectively. They're seventh in the league in three-point shooting percentage. Uh-huh. They don't shoot a lot of threes. I mean, they shoot the bottom of the barrel threes. I don't really get it. If I'm them, if I've got D'Lo, I want, what was Darvin Ham's sort of wacky quote? He said he doesn't have the green light. He's got the green room. I want him in a green room where he, see ball, shoot ball. You know, whenever it touches your hands, shoot it as quickly as you can shoot it, because he just tied the all-time Laker record for a single season three.
Yeah, he had a nice night last night, but two nights ago.
Roller coaster.
I don't want him shooting.
Okay, against Golden State in the fourth quarter, he was 1 of 6.
Yeah, I can't.
Okay, the only thing that makes sense, you got three guys shooting 40%. You know what that's telling me? That the ball is being dominated by LeBron and AD. Mm. So if you guys aren't spreading the ball, making the extra pass, and you got three guys in a three-point driven league shooting over 40%, and you guys are close to last, if not, what'd you say, last in three-point attempts? So why is that? If you're a great shooting team, if you got these great shooters, it's because the ball is not getting distributed in the right people's hands. The ball is not getting driven downhill to create open shots in the corner and the wing, which tells me that the stars are holding the ball longer than they need to where you can't get these shots and play at a pace that you need to get more three-point shots.
Okay, you made a powerful point yesterday that LeBron is ball hogging a little too much. He's stat machining a little too much as he goes over 40,000 points. Yet last night was a blueprint. If you're going to go places, this is it. Because I'm looking at shot attempts last night. LeBron took 14, and AD took 14, and D'Angelo took 14. Well, that'll work.
That's the way they have to play.
Okay. Right? And yet, the Atlanta Hawks play less defense than the Lakers play, and the Lakers don't play very much defense. So that's why that's a gimme.
That's got to be the blueprint. LeBron has to shoot a higher percentage. Yeah. He doesn't have to play as many minutes.
No.
And he has to allow Reeves.
He's 16 in the league.
Reeves and D'Lo, to me, have to get 25 shots between them.
All right.
Together.
So the Lakers are now tied with the Nets for 18th in defensive efficiency. in individual defensive win shares, LeBron is number one on the Lakers, but he ranks 86th in the league. That's all you need to know right there. Your best defender is LeBron James in defensive win shares, and he's 86th in the NBA. And AD is second. He's 113th in the NBA. They play no defense. No defense. And you can't yet. Keyshawn, have we seen them take it up a couple levels when they need to?
But AD started complaining. AD mentioned the poor defensive effort a couple games
He did.
That they've been put in. So does that go back to the coach? Is the coach dialing it up the way they need to defensively?
Yeah.
Or because defense pause all effort. Right? I mean,
They don't have any versatility on defense. And in a league to where you need multiple guys that can defend multiple positions.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have that. You know, if you get a mismatch where you set a pick on a guy, Reeves is guarding, or D'Angelo Russell is guarding, or LeBron is guarding, you're going to take advantage of that. You need positionless guys who can play multiple positions and guard multiple positions on the court, and they don't have that. You know, if you switch Reed on the big man or on the point guard.
He's going to lose.
Exactly. And that's what they
don't
have.
He's a try-hard guy, but he's most likely going to lose.
Exactly.
Okay. Paul, Key brought up Jared Vanderbilt yesterday, and you scoffed, but he is by far their best defender. He's their most versatile defender. He is. Because he's long and he's strong and he's got a little nasty in him.
He hasn't been there.
He hadn't been there, and I don't know what's his deal. And Cam Reddish defends at a fairly high level, and he's not available right now. And we talked about Gabe Vincent. He took and made so many big shots for Miami. He hadn't been there the whole year.
Ever since he signed, we haven't seen him.
Okay, and now Christian Wood, I like Christian. I'm not saying he's a life changer, but Christian Wood can shoot threes, and he plays bigger than he measures. He's 6'10". And he hadn't been there for a while. And now they waited a whole month and said, oh, I think he needs a meniscus cleanup. So he got scoped yesterday. Mm-hmm. Well, and now they're saying he might be back for the playoffs. Well, if you had those four guys healthy,
you might have a squad.
You might,
because those players you named.
If they're healthy,
defenders. But if they're not there, and say they come back, it's too late to implement them for a deep playoff run or even a playoff run if they make it at
tough.
All.
I would agree.
Yeah. Man, you're a hater, man.
No, I'm just telling you the facts.
No, man.
Don't get mad if I spit truth.
No, man, I understand that Laker hate.
I know you don't like truth. That's all. Just say that.
How much do the Celtics hate the Lakers? How much in tradition? What is the feeling of being a Celtic at heart and soul? What does it feel like when I say Lakers to you?
You know, I come from the old school. I thrive in that rivalry. It's just like, you know, it's a respect. It's definitely a respect thing, but I'm not out here cheering for the Lakers. I don't even go to Laker games, and I live in L.A. I'll go to the Clipper games.
But you get booed if you could, but you had a cup of coffee with the Clippers. That's different.
Nah, that's all right. That's all right.
You're going to get booed if you walk up into the Staples Center.
Maybe. Okay, I expect that.
You're going to get booed.
Who else can walk into? Who going to walk in as a Laker, walk into the Garden and not get booed? Same difference. What you mean?
Yeah, it's true.
Come on now. LeBron walks in there, he getting booed
too. But you an L.A. guy, so you should embrace
That's cool.
The Lakers.
Did you love the Lakers in Inglewood?
Yeah, I love the Lakers. Yeah, of course I did.
Well, I mean, you grew up like two-minute walk from where, right?
Yeah, I was a Magic Johnson fan.
Yeah.
Of course.
There you go.
But as an adult, I don't even watch them that much until the playoffs come.
See, that's it's all coming out. It's all coming out.
Yeah, it's coming out.
Do people in Boston hate the Lakers worse than people in L.A. hate the Celtics?
We don't really care about it. I guarantee you guys this.
We don't care about the Celtics like that.
We'll win our 18th championship before the Lakers. I guarantee that one.
Y'all been saying that since y'all left. Y'all gonna do this and that.
Y'all just caught up a couple years ago when y'all won that
bubble championship.
That Mickey Mouse championship. You know what I'm saying? Y'all won that Mickey Mouse championship.
Man,
y'all gonna count that.
You're such a hater.
I'm just saying.
I hope all the Laker fans are listening to you right now.
I mean, they won how much you count a Mickey Mouse championship?
Yeah.
You would have took it?
I probably wouldn't have played.
Man, stop.
Bingo.
I probably wouldn't have played in it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Y'all something else.
I love that.
Man, I can't wait. I can't wait to talk to KG and help. Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Help me with this dude, please.
Oh, we're staying in the NBA next. Back to Anthony Edwards and that dunk last night. face of the league. Says Paul Pierce, is he ready to lead the T-Wolves on a deep playoff run?
Could've just got a little closer.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Anthony Edwards gave us a potential dunk of the year last night. That after recently hitting his head on the rim on a game-saving chase-down block. So, Paul Pierce, exactly how good is Anthony Edwards right now, and how big a threat does he help make the Minnesota Timberwolves to win the West?
You know what, Skip? I think what we've seen from him since Karl Towns has gone down, they went 4-2, and he's elevated his game.
I think it's
time to start putting him in the MVP conversation. I mean, they're half a game from first place, and why not? I mean, it seems like every single night he's giving them something special. Mm. I mean, the block, the dunk you seen last night. I mean, he almost identically posterizes AD the same way, but misses that one.
Yep.
It's just like everything this kid's do, his charisma, his style, is saying not only, I said it early, face of the league, number one team in the league, this guy, they are a real threat. Because he's taking the next step to superstardom. And somebody's going to be pissed off this year that's not going to make first-team All-NBA because this man right here, Ant-Man, should be in there on the first team. Mm. When you talk about Joker, Tatum, those two come to mind off the top. You got to put those two in. Then after that, where do you go? You got to go Ant-Man. He has to be in there. Luka Doncic.
Mm-hmm.
And for that fifth guy?
OKC.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. That's my five right there.
Okay.
And there's going to be some people pissed off. There's going to be a player or two that's pissed off that's not going to be in there. But this man right here, he deserves to be in the MVP talks. And this team is a real threat to Denver Nuggets in the playoffs because they host the number one defensive team. Mm. Rudy Gobert's probably going to win Defensive Player of the Year, a guy who you can put on Joker to kind of stifle him in the paint as far as, you know, not letting him get easy opportunities right at the rim because I'm tired of seeing Joker just get the offensive rebound, tip it to himself, and lay it in.
You got
a guy who can kind of offset that a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, not saying he can stop him at all, but you got some bodies that you can throw. And so I think Minnesota, with Anthony Edwards playing the way that he plays, is maybe the only threat to Denver in the West.
Mm. See, they're the fifth best odds behind the Nuggets, the Clippers, the Thunder, and the Suns. Now, we haven't really seen the Suns at full strength. The Thunder's still kind of young. You know, the Clippers, I don't know what they're doing. They're kind of starting to unravel a little bit.
The Clippers are the third best odds.
Mm. They're the second best odds.
Clippers.
According in the West, yeah, plus 290. Behind the Nuggets at plus 145.
Wow.
So, when you start to look at that, I think, and I understand what you're saying about Rudy Gobert being able to neutralize to a degree the Joker, but we say that all the time about somebody doing something to him, and then he comes out the game with 28, 10, and 6 or something.
I mean, but if you want anybody on him, you want the Defensive Player of the Year on him.
Mm. Yeah, but then he still is going to get his regardless.
Yeah, for sure.
So when I start to look at these teams, Minnesota is such a young team with, even though Rudy Gobert's older, and Kat, I don't know what his situation is after his knee situation, you know, when is he coming back? You're missing that. They're such a young team, and when I say young team, the main guy, the leader of the team is Anthony Edwards, who's young, who hasn't arrived to the point where you say, okay, no matter what, he's just going to put it on his back and get there. He may still be able to get his, but when you're talking about going up against the Nuggets, an experienced veteran team, they can stay healthy like the Clippers, I don't put much into the Thunder. It's exciting, but they're a young team too. I got more faith in the Lakers as a healthy team coming out of the West than I do Minnesota. I just do. You know, if it comes down to it, because as you mentioned multiple times, Skip, when they play the Denver Nuggets, they're this close. They just haven't gotten over the hill yet. The last 4.5, 5 minutes of the game, they accelerate on the offensive end, and the Lakers disintegrate on the offensive end as well as on defense. So I'm not sure, though, Paul, that Minnesota's going to really be hanging around in the second round, third round.
At some point, we got to get past these old teams, the Lakers and Golden State, because just like we said with San Antonio, Golden State was that young team like Minnesota and OKC. Mm-hmm. And now they got over that hump. So at some point, these young teams are going to break through. And you got to let go of these older teams, like the Lakers and Golden State. And it's going to be one of these teams, Minnesota or Golden State. We see this in every era, to where when you have a team growing and they have a young superstars, they eventually break through. Minnesota has already had playoff experience.
Uh-huh.
They got a young superstar. They got three all-stars on one team and a veteran point guard with good coaching and good role players.
Yeah.
So I believe at some point they're going to break through, and this could be the year, like we saw Golden State take the next step and then eventually become a dynasty.
But do they have
They got Clay. Star power.
Do they got Clay?
They got
do
star. They got a superstar over
Do
there.
They got Curry?
They
do
got
they
a top
have
five
a
player.
Draymond Green with
well,
an attitude
they
were, like that?
They got the pieces to become that.
Mm. All right, just for the record, Denver is playing at Minnesota tonight, and mm-hmm. Denver is a 7.5-point favorite because there's no Cat.
No Cat.
And I don't think Gobert is going to play. He didn't play the last game. He's got a rib strain. He's like AD. There's always something, right? There's always something going on. But I talked about how bad the Lakers are on defense. This Minnesota team is serious on defense. In the individual defensive win shares, they have four in the top 14. That's sensational. You don't
right.
see that
that's
very often
saying.
Because Gobert is two and Ant-Man is five in the league. And this is defense.
Defense.
And Cat is 11. And Conley is 14th on this list, which shocked me because I don't think of him as a defender, but he's a ball stealer and he's an irritant and he's smart. He's always in the right place at the right time. So they do have a high-quality point guard. But here's been my trouble with Minnesota until this moment is, we talk about having that dog in him or him or him. I know Karl Anthony scored 50 in the All-Star game, but I just don't know about him in the biggest moments in the biggest games. I'm not sure about him. I'm definitely not sure about Rudy Gobert. He seems like a nice guy, but when push comes to shove, he gets shoved too much, right? In the biggest moments in the biggest games. We're talking about winning the West. Mm-hmm. And this brings me to Anthony Edwards. He's 22 years of age. Has he arrived? I mean, is he a superstar? Because if he's the guy you're talking about right now, in this mix of defensive prowess that they have, defensive firepower, he would be the one who's going to have to take it over the top.
Absolutely.
In the biggest moments of game five and six and seven, is he ready to do that and that and that? Because he's the one I would trust on this team to make those kind of plays.
Well, that's the question,
yeah.
Skip. I mean, superstars are
yeah.
born in the playoffs.
Yeah.
We can say as much as we want to about the regular season and the numbers are going to be the numbers and the highlights are going to be mm-hmm. the highlights, but we know the superstars, the true superstars are born in the playoffs and has that potential. So we have to wait and see if he can really do that. We can't say he hasn't done it. He didn't do it last year, and he's still young. He's only 22. Listen to what we're saying about a kid that's 22 years old.
40.
Can he take him over the top?
Yep.
Can he be the face of the league? He's 22 years old, and we're already saying that. That just shows how far he's come and how great he is at this stage in his career.
He is a great player, and I believe over time, like you say, those things will come. But right now, as we stand today, I just don't.
That's the only question.
I just don't see, much like you say, Skip, you got Cat who you don't know what you're going to get.
Rudy
Gobert,
know.
Yeah, defensively, but
yeah.
you're trading off the offensive side of the ball with him. I mean, he ain't going to give you much on offense. He's going to play hard-nosed defense. So that's a liability in itself
yeah.
that I'm giving up whatever I'm getting from Joker, but you're not matching him on the scoring end. So
yeah.
that's a problem. But I think Anthony
hey.
Edwards could potentially be the guy that all of a sudden he becomes a Kobe Bryant. He becomes a Michael Jordan. We've been waiting for Tatum in Boston to kind of, he got him there, but when he got him there, he kind of disappeared a little bit. We want him to take the next step.
Well, you just said a mouthful. You just put him in the same sentence with a Kobe or a Jordan?
Well, I'm just saying, when you think about it, it took Jordan a minute It took Jordan a minute. Now, we done had this argument before, Skip, and then eventually Jordan got over the hump and the rest was history. It took Kobe a little bit. He got shacked and all of a sudden
he did.
Got over the hump. And then they disappeared for a couple years. Then Powell came. We got over the hump again. That's all I'm saying. This dude has that type of talent. You know, you talk about his college days. He wasn't efficient. He wasn't good at shooting the ball. Then he just keep getting better and better.
I'm going to give you that because he has improved as a basketball player.
Yes.
When I watched him at Georgia, he was just an athlete running around, just making athletic plays.
Yeah.
He shot 40% from the floor at Georgia. He shot 29% from three. And I'm like, really? I see the explosiveness, the raw sort of he played with kind of a rage to his game, which I love. But now I'm seeing numbers because he's shooting 47% from the floor and he's shooting 37% from three. That will work. His free throws are up to 84%. That'll work. That's 10% more than LeBron makes from the free throw. Well, I'm just saying, LeBron never improved. We're 21 years in and he never improved his free throws. This kid has improved dramatically at the free throw line because they're free, right? They're free.
But when you know, a lot of times I think what we do is when we try and compare guys, we look at the end product opposed to where they were in their fourth year, their third year. That's how you compare somebody. You don't compare. You can't sit there and say, well, this kid is going to be this. Well, it's not finished yet, but he's certainly his trajectory is headed in the direction of those guys that I mentioned.
Yeah.
Because if you go back and you look at Kobe in his third year, fourth year, you're like, oh, he's balling.
Well, are you seeing that?
He's giving me that.
But that's what I'm saying. You're giving me that. You're giving that.
You don't worry for that.
So if you take that, in his fourth year and you project that out to his 12th year, it's going to be crazy in between.
I just don't see Jordan's or Kobe's skill yet, like supreme skill. There's still rawness to it.
Absolutely.
Okay. But he got some stuff with no skill that others don't have.
It's ridiculous.
Right?
Because remember, Jordan's 6'6 and Kobe's 6'7. We're talking about 6'4.
He's 6'4.
And that's like actually a pretty big drop in height. What did you 6'7? You were 6'7?
He's 6'4. He looked about 6'9 now.
Well, he does. Well, he plays 6'9.
Like, if you didn't know his actual height, you just watch him play. Yeah. He play like he's 6'9.
Well, we were talking about Sean Kemp in the break. He was 6'9. And this kid plays 6'9 like Sean Kemp did.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right. So, you know, certain guys play bigger than what they really are. Yeah. I mean, some guys play smaller than what they really are. And you can see the difference. This guy clearly plays like he's a 6'9 player. The way he goes up and grabs rebound, the way he skies over everybody's and dunks, the way he just kind of runs through people with the dribble and just gets to the basket. And
he's built,
you can't put height on that.
No, and he's built. A certain way too, though.
Well,
his body is got a nice
attitude.
Frame.
You
on
combine
him.
All that attitude, and that's what I'm gravitating toward. That attitude, and that's what I'm not getting a lot from today's superstars
in
the league.
No, you're not.
Or these players.
No.
Just his attitude that, like, I'm gonna go through you. I'm gonna bump you. I'm gonna just that dog. Nah, he ain't barking like that. He give you that room. That's what I'm feeling from Ant-Man.
All right. Now back to the chase down that I said was overrated only because my guy from Vanderbilt tries to shoot a layup to win the game.
How is it overrated, okay, Skip?
I told you. I give you this much.
Dude, chase.
Ant-Man missed the free throw that would have clinched it.
Okay.
It would have made it a three. Well, it would have clinched overtime. And he was so enraged that he took off from the opposite free throw line on a dead run.
Yes.
And he goes up and hits his head on the rim out of sheer fury and anger.
Right. Like
he went over a 6'9 teammate to block a shot that the 6'9 teammate was going to easily block.
I had this conversation with you a while ago. My guy from Vanderbilt is saying,
because he's shocked about the clock, wait a second, what should I do? And he gets cut off. Conley cuts him off at the pass. So he's thinking about trying to dunk it, and then at least maybe you get fouled. And at the last second, he gets cut off at the pass, just like LeBron's chased down in Game 7. Remember what happened on Iguodala? Remember what J.R. Smith cut him
this
off the pass?
This was so much more difficult than LeBron's chase down. This was so much more difficult.
But this goes into saying.
But it's just a layup.
It's just not a layup, Skip. It's getting ready to hit the top of the box.
No, it's not going to hit the top of the box. He's just going to lay it up. He's just going to lay it up to win the game.
It's going
to
come off the glass at the top of the box.
Okay. He doesn't have to get he hit his head on the rim when he didn't need to. What did I tell you? It was like killing a gnat with a sledgehammer. Killing a gnat with a sledgehammer. That's what that was.
He was so pissed off. But this goes in the sand what we talked about.
It does. It does. No, I give you that. That's the point.
Like, how many players would have missed the free throw, put their head down, and sulk?
Yeah, they would.
He was so pissed off.
Yeah.
And that's the attitude I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I missed the free throw, so I'm about to just annihilate this ball.
I'm going to annihilate the ball.
He was mad at the ball.
Right. Right.
And so that's why we see a block like this.
Yeah.
But you can't sit there and say that is not a hell of a just a ridiculous, unseen play, Skip.
Okay, but
regardless if he's mad or not,
okay,
you coming from the other side of the court.
My man from Vanderbilt
you
just
accelerate.
Decided, I think I'll shoot a layup.
You accelerate.
Come
this
on.
Dude, he's accelerating.
I give you
he
that.
He goes and chases it down. He hits his head. He vertically jumps off of 2 feet.
Okay, listen.
Not one. You know how hard it is to jump off of 2?
I understand. But a lot of guys in this league could hit their head on the rim if they chose
made
to.
The block,
he's
6'4",
Skippy, not 6'9".
All right, but he blocked a layup.
I can't with you. I'm not
even. If it's a slam.
I cannot.
If my guy goes up to slam it, if he just goes up to slam it and he meets him at the rim, I'll give you that.
Yeah, right.
Okay?
I mean, this is what makes the block is the moment.
Yeah, save the game.
Like, that's a normal chase down block. But what makes it is because it was for the tie, and he saved the game.
Yeah.
Dude hit his head, man.
I mean, he hit his head.
6'4".
Yeah, I mean,
the little white dude hit his head on the rim in the dunk contest. He did. The little white dude.
I can't,
6'2". He hit his head on
Nobody
the rim.
Nobody ever accused
the
you
little white guy's ducking under the rim.
Nobody said that.
All right.
Nobody said that. I understand, little white.
His teammate kind of elevated. His teammate elevated him, too, a little bit.
What's his name?
McClung.
Yeah.
Matt McClung.
Yeah. Matt McClung.
He's won back-to-back. Nobody will do it. LeBron did it. He's the one who started this, right?
Here we go back to LeBron.
Nobody will do it.
Between
nobody
you and Paul Pierce, like, man, y'all, I can't take it. Hey. I can't take it, man, with the Laker, LeBron. I just can't take it.
Hey, Paul Pierce thwarted LeBron, man. He did numbers on LeBron. Shut him down.
Don't fall for this. Don't fall for it. Don't let Skip bring you into that, man.
Hey, man, facts is facts.
No, but don't let him bring you into it.
Facts.
No, truth is truth.
He wants you to
truth.
Truth
is truth. Thank you.
Hey, truth is truth.
I'm not saying you have the handcuffs on him. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is don't get caught up in his madness.
Hey, man, listen. I didn't go to Miami. I stayed.
Oh, man, see, that was
just he stayed. He did.
I stayed.
Why you?
I stayed home.
You scandalous. You scandalous, man. Oh, man.
I love that.
Oh, God. I know you love it.
He's not afraid.
Man, you just doing this.
Finally, we have somebody who didn't sit up here and genuflect for LeBron and get down on knees.
Oh, Skip, stop.
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right, here we go.